The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Jesus says to her, I desire that during these 9 days you bring souls to the fountain of my mercy, that they may draw therefrom strength and refreshment and whatever grace they need in the hardships of life, and especially at the hour of death. On each day you will bring to my heart a different group of souls, and you will immerse them in this ocean of my mercy.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's great to be with you today. We are on the eve of the great feast of divine mercy. And I'll tell you, we'll take your calls if you want to join us. We'll answer your questions. I'm joined by a longtime apostle of divine mercy. It's Dr. Brian Thatcher, a very successful surgeon who's decided to serve God. He felt the call to do it. And for as long as I've known him, he has been doing that. He's made it his life's mission. He's done a lot in addition to promoting that. He's also gathered medical supplies, taken them to countries that were in need. And Doctor, a couple things here. We'll go and we'll grab a few calls for you. But before we begin, the Feast of Divine Mercy, maybe you can speak about that a little bit, and then maybe we'll do a Q&A and answer a few people's questions.
Okay, well, the Feast of Divine Mercy, the Lord told Faustina he wanted it reinstituted. It used to be a feast in the church, so it was lost. And he wanted it to be the first Sunday after Easter, kind of the octave of Easter. And he said on that day, the floodgates of heaven are open. It's like Niagara Falls. The graces of love and mercy are pouring on the earth. And he said on that day, if one comes to Mass and receives Holy Communion and is in a state of grace and has gone to confession within the last few weeks, some theologians even say you can go after. But he said, your sins and complete punishment of those sins, it's totally gone, and your soul becomes as white as snow, and it's actually as if you've received a second baptism. So the graces of the day are incredible, and he said, tell the whole world about my love and mercy, and bring souls to the font of my mercy. And so the feast day is kind of the pinnacle celebration of God's love and mercy.
Wow. No, I love it, and you're so right. I mean, on that day, I often say that's a day I'd love to go home, because if you go to confession, receive the Eucharist, true amendment, you know, of trying to live a virtuous life, and you trust in God's mercy, to have your soul, you know, as clean as being, you know, baptized, what an amazing, amazing blessing that is. And again, I know not everybody can get to confession on that day. It'd be impossible if everybody wanted to. So I would encourage people to go in advance if you can, and make sure you're not in a, you know, state of serious sin on that day, for sure. Or go afterwards, as you pointed out, Doctor. Let's grab a call or two. Nick has got a question for you. He's listening in Chicago. Hi, Nick.
Hi. I'm just a little confused, you know, about going to church just on divine mercy and going to confession and taking the Eucharist. I thought people, the only people who went directly to heaven were priests, and not all priests, and martyrs. Everyone else may have to do some time in purgatory. So I just don't understand that.
We'll try to bring some clarity to that. Thank you, Nick. Doc, you want to start?
Yeah. Well, you're true when you speak of purgatory. I didn't get into that, but the Catholic teaching is that even though we go to confession, our sins were forgiven, the stain of sins remain on our soul. And we believe that to see God, our souls must be as pure and as white as snow. And that period or time of purification we call purgatory. Now, the Jews had to have believed in something similar, because they talk in Maccabees about praying for the dead. Well, if everybody was in heaven, they wouldn't need prayers. And if everybody was in hell, the prayers would do no good. So the church teaching is purgatory is a place where that soul is purified. And some theologians tell me that the greatest pain of purgatory is the longing to see God. But yet they've made it. They will get to heaven eventually. But you're right. On Mercy Sunday, this is an incredible feast day, and God in his mercy brings souls to the font of my mercy. He's going to wash the slate clean. And if you were to die on Mercy Sunday, you would go direct to heaven. That's the promises he told St. Faustina, and then the church kind of put their stamp of approval on this by Pope John Paul giving the plenary indulgence if you follow the guidelines. So, you know, the Lord told Faustina, his mercy is unfathomable. No mind will ever be able to understand it. So just accept it. That's the best answer I can give.
Hey, Nick, I got good news for you. You can go directly to heaven. You know, you just make sure that you're at a state of mortal sin. And like I said, on Divine Mercy Sunday, Doctor, as you point out, it's like a second baptism. What a great day. We're called to be saints, you know, and we should be striving for that. We should strive to rise above any temptation or anything that can draw us away from God. Next call up is Maureen, listening in Fresno, California. Hi, Maureen.
Hi there, you guys. Listen, I just have a story about fervent prayer. I had an 8-month-old baby who had asthma really bad, and I was terrified that it might be cystic fibrosis, but it was not. But he dealt with it for years and years, like six to eight years. And I prayed to God so much about this boy. And I said, I just want him to have a happy little life and maybe play sports and be able to just be like a normal kid. Mm-hmm. And I said, God, if you make that happen, God, I will never complain in my life. And so it was really funny. He became a boy that grew out of it, you know, about 9 years old, and played sports, did all kinds of stuff. He's 59
great.
Now.
Wow.
And but you know what? Every once in a while, I get a whisper in my ear still, and God says, you know, we made a deal, you and I, you know, about not complaining. And I really truly try not to complain and be thankful for everything I've got every day. Mm-hmm. So God answers prayers.
He does. Hey, Maureen, thank you for sharing that. Your signal was a little hard to hear, but I think, Brian, you made that out too, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, it reminded me of the point that we must look at all the miracles in our life every day. The birth of a child, a mother comforting her infant, two people reconciling. We have to look at these God moments, and so many of us miss them because we're so caught up in the world. They're just mountaintop experiences, but we don't even see them. And so it sounds like she has, and praise God for that.
I love it. 888-914-9149. Rosemary is in Minnesota. Doctor, good afternoon. Rosemary, you're on the air with Dr. Brian Thatcher.
Yes, good afternoon. My question is this. If one attends or goes to the vigil mass on Saturday evening, does that fulfill the requirements?
Yes.
Or does it?
And
it does.
Yes, it's just like as if you went to mass on Sunday. You know,
okay.
Done your thing, and so yes, you get all the graces. And and remember, Pope John Paul died on the eve of the Feast of Divine Mercy, and it's the same as going on Sunday.
That's awesome. Great question, Rosemary. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Mm-hmm.
You got it. D is listening in Phoenix, Arizona. D, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Thatcher.
Dr. Thatcher. Dr.
Yes?
Kennedy?
Yes.
I have a theological question regarding mercy and sin. And I'm a wannabe Catholic catechist, and I can't find St. John Paul II death. Roman numeral 531, St. John Paul II, de Roman numeral 531, and I can't find it on Google. And I think he said that the Spirit of Truth is the Consoler. Can you expand on that?
You know, you're breaking up real bad.
Yeah, we have a really bad connection here. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Margaret, we can't really make you out. I'm sorry about that. D, I'm sorry I can't make you out. Well, we'll try to get a better connection to you. Let me go to Nina, Wisconsin next. Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to tell you my story. I had a massive stroke over 30 years ago. I was in a coma and expected to die. my family came down to the hospital to pray, and my mother prayed at my bedside one night and received a word from the Lord that I would be all right. Within 3.5 weeks, I came out of the coma and began a long, long road to recovery. I'm still not completely healed of my stroke, but the Lord came to me about 3.5 weeks later, and I had a visit with him, and I told him how proud I was of myself and all the things that I had accomplished in my life, and all of a sudden he told me, he said, and you accomplished all these things, and who gave you the gifts and the talents to do all these things? And all of a sudden, I mean, there I was talking just truth himself, and then he told me, without me, you can do nothing, from the vine and the branches. And oh my gosh, he changed my life. I went back to confession after 17 years, and he just shed his graces on me. I got involved in the pro-life movement and fell in love with him in the Eucharist and Eucharistic adoration. And he just changed my life, and now I live for him first and my family and then everything else. And oh my gosh.
Hi, right, Margaret, thank you for calling in. I'm going to leave you right there. What a beautiful story, doctor. Was in a coma.
Yeah.
And, you know, God does reach out to us in all sorts of ways. She talks about how she's devoted to Eucharistic adoration. I want to touch on that for a moment, too, if we can, because that's really what your ministry is all about. You are the Eucharistic apostles of divine mercy. And I had mentioned that there was the possibility for people to get an apostolic blessing that John Paul II had offered. Do you want to unpack that and explain how people can tap into that? What's your
right. Well,
about?
The Faustina had a great love for the dying and was bilocated to the bedside and would be awakened at night to pray for nuns who were dying in her order 100 kilometers away, etc. But the Lord told her she prayed the chaplet of divine mercy at the bedside of a dying person, that he would be there as the merciful savior and not as a just judge. Now, we asked Pope John Paul in 1999, what if we're not at the bedside? And he asked his theologians, they all said the same thing. In the eternal now with God, all things are present, and you don't have to be present. So I'm in Austin, Texas right now, and if I got a call that my son was in an accident and he's not going to make it, I could pray the chaplet and the promise would still hold. But the Pope came back to us and said, would you encourage people praying in Eucharistic adoration? Doesn't have to be perpetual, but praying in Eucharistic adoration in front of our Lord, the chaplet of the Divine Mercy, it can be said silently, but you pray it for all your intentions, plus those sick and those that will die in that hour. And he signed a papal blessing to that effect. And we'll send that to churches or chapels. You just have to have your pastor's permission. It's not for individuals per se, it's for a chapel or a church. But if they ask the pastor and he's okay with it, or they want more information on it, they can call us in Tampa on our toll-free 1-877-380-0727. And I can tell you, we've got over 1,500 churches and chapels all over the world praying for the sick and dying. And if people have had any loved ones in 22 years or so, know that there were thousands praying for their loved one.
Yeah, Relevant Radio actually has that apostolic blessing. I think they got permission for it. And the chapel, the Nativity, I know we have it. As you walk into our chapel, it's right there on the wall. You sent a document, right, saying that
Yeah.
So the number again, Brian, I couldn't even write it all. Write it down. My guest, by the way, if you're tuning in, Dr. Brian Thatcher, longtime friend of mine, one of the great apostles of mercy, founder of the Eucharistic Apostles of Divine Mercy. The number, if people want to get more information on that, it's 877-
380-0727, and I'll send them a letter explaining it, a flyer, even a little booklet, and they can ask their pastor, and we'd be happy to send them a copy of the papal blessing.
It's a beautiful thing to do. If you have, you know, adoration in your community there, a chapel somewhere set up, check it out. I guess you could also go to Eucharistic Apostles of Divine Mercy, or go to divinemercy.org/EADM for more information. But the number is 877-380-0727. Kip is listening in Easton, Pennsylvania. Kip, good afternoon. It's good to have you on the air with us.
Hi, Drew. Good to be here, Drew. Hi, Doctor. I just found out that I had been doing the novena incorrectly. And I wanted to find out, do I have to wait till next year, or would it be as efficacious if I were to start it now and finish it by Sunday, or do it for the next 9 days? What should I do?
Let me ask you a question first. Why do you think you're doing it incorrectly? What are you doing?
Well, I do, you know, the prayers that you're saying, on this day, bring me the souls, doing this, or bring, I didn't know about that part of it. I was just saying the chaplet on my
own. You're fine. But let me, we'll explain this. Kip, it's a great question. So, Doctor, on Good Friday, as you know, I mean, the Lord had asked St. Faustina to pray a novena of chaplets and to bring to him every day a different soul. And he specifically, you know, requested these particular intentions. And I've been doing it on the air leading up to the great feast of Divine Mercy. And I guess Kip just heard that and he missed out on some of the earlier intentions. But I think God honors prayer. Whether you did that or not, Kip, you could certainly, I think you can certainly do it. You can do all nine in one day if you want to. But you know, I don't ever think it's too late to begin to pray. And I know that your heart's in the right place. But Brian, maybe you could talk a little bit about the novena of chaplets, another aspect of the devotion here that sometimes people don't really look at until this time of year. But let's talk about that and what the Lord required and ultimately how God looks at that type of prayer.
Well, the novena was given to Faustina by the Lord as a tool in preparation to prepare her soul for the feast day. But he never said, tell the whole world they have to do it to receive the graces of Mercy Sunday. It was just another way to prepare the soul. So while we encourage it, it's not a mandatory requirement to receive the great graces of the day. So
he can go
through them again. He can start in where he's at, but just know it's more important that he go to Mass, receive Holy Communion, be in a state of grace, and just try to turn one's life over to God. And in any times of struggle, adversity, trial, say, Jesus, I trust in you. Yeah. You're the anchor of my life.
And I'm glad you brought this up because it really is something that's, people think that in order to get the extraordinary grace of divine mercy, that promise that the Lord gave for Mercy Sunday, you need to do the 9-day novena. No, it's not the case at all. Again, it is worthy reception of the Eucharist. Make sure you go to confession, receive the Lord, and trust in his mercy on that day. Now, also, there's another aspect of this, and we'll go back, we'll grab more phone calls for you, Doctor, but since we're talking about divine mercy, the other thing the Lord asked was that the image of divine mercy on that day be blessed, be venerated, right? Speak about that, if you could.
Yes, if possible, the image should be out and venerated, and veneration means shown respect.
Right.
Some priests will actually incense the image. Some will say a prayer of consecration to the Divine Mercy, but many parishes don't have the Divine Mercy image. So we have to be careful we don't get too caught up in the rules and regulations, you know, like the Jews had hundreds and hundreds of things they had to do to meet the requirements, and that's not the case here. The requirements are simple. If there's an image, show respect, venerate it, but if not, you still get the graces because the pinnacle really is at the Mass.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It'd be awesome if everybody had a special Divine Mercy feast day, but you don't really need to because the Mass is the special Divine Mercy celebration. But I encourage, you know, if you talk to your priests, it'd be great if they all spoke on an element of how they can grow spiritually. The parishioners talk about forgiveness in families. What a stumbling block. Families are broken. Families are hurting. Talk about what trust in the Lord means. You know, but the essence is in the Eucharist and trusting in the Lord and being in a state of grace.
My guest today, Dr. Brian Thatcher, founder of the Eucharistic Apostles of Divine Mercy, a very gifted physician surgeon who's dedicated his life to spreading mercy. And we're going to take your calls. We're talking all things Divine Mercy today. Divine Mercy 101, if you will. The Great Feast of Divine Mercy is coming up, something the Lord specifically spoke to St. Faustina about on 14 different occasions. It was something that welled up from the very depths of his tender mercy, and he wants us all to be able to have access to. So we'll take your calls, 888-914-9149. Brian, we'll go to Ken, listening to us in Illinois. Ken, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Question, on this program, at some point in the last few years, I remember there was a theologian that talked about how and it was in the context of suicide, but and I assume it applies to everybody, that, you know, before dying, the soul receives, I think it was three chances to repent. But how does that square? And obviously, you know, God's mercy. How does that square with the diary entry about, you know, seeing souls falling like snowflakes into hell? Would you be able to shed some light on that?
That's a Thanks great question. Thank you, Ken. So, Dr. Well, Hirschberg, go ahead.
Yeah, Father Chris Aylar, who's written a book on suicide, told me that, you know, it's never been church teaching that one committing suicide was automatically sent to hell.
Right.
Because if you think about it, people who commit suicide have to have an element of mental illness. And it's not like you're committing a grave sin that you know about and you're mentally stable and healthy. But I leave that all up to God. I'm not a theologian. But again, in the diary, she writes about when this was in the context of a comatose person, basically. But she tells an incredible story of how we look at a person in a coma and say, oh, geez, they didn't have a chance to convert. And, you know, they lived a rough life. And I worry where they're at right now. And they're getting ready to die and they're going to be in hell. And she says, sometimes God's mercy touches the soul at the last instant in such an incredible way that the soul can be converted, so to speak, by a single ray of God's love. And it's as if God comes one last time and says, do you want to be with me?
Yeah,
but again, we have free will, and people choose bad decisions. But I still think if I have a pure, 100% unadulterated love standing in front of me and saying, do you want to come with me? I would choose the Lord. So
it
some of this, I don't
hope so.
Think. Yeah, I don't think we're going to know some of this until we get on the other side. But God's mercy comes to that soul at the last instant, and the soul can have such a conversion that she wrote they can have complete forgiveness of sin and punishment, which is the same on Mercy Sunday, and they would go right to heaven.
Let me share what she said here, and then and we can talk about it. Faustina wrote in its diary, I think, 1698. She goes, although a person is at the point of death, the merciful God gives the soul that interior vivid moment so that if the soul is willing, it has the possibility of returning to God. God loves us so much. His mercy is beyond our comprehension. He's constantly reaching out to them. And to your point, he says this, she writes, the soul, illumined by a ray of God's powerful final grace, turns to God in the last moment with such a power of love that in an instant it receives from God the forgiveness of sin and punishment, while outwardly it shows no sign, either of repentance or contrition, because a soul at that stage can no longer react to external things. I mean, that's pretty profound, as you point out. We look at souls who might have committed suicide, who died by suicide, who died tragically, you know, maybe who rejected God. Faustina says, a soul steeped in darkness, this is what the Lord told her in diary entry 1486, she wrote this, Jesus said, a soul steeped in darkness, do not despair, all is not yet lost. Come and confide in your God, who is love and mercy. And then Faustina goes on, and she says, Jesus calls to the soul a third time. If the soul continues, he reaches out to it three times, but if the soul remains deaf and blind, hardened and despairing, then the mercy of God will exert itself on the soul, but without any cooperation from the soul, you know, that soul can spurn God because it has free will. You know, it's not like God's going to take it to heaven if it doesn't want to go. So that's such a profound aspect of God's mercy. That's why, I mean, this whole issue of heaven and hell, maybe we can talk about it on the other side. I mean, Faustina saw a lot of souls going there, and we know that heaven, you know, that path is narrow. But I just think of how much God loves us, you know, and how merciful he is. And when we come back, I'm going to take a break. Let's talk about that for a moment. Because Faustina had a vision of the afterlife, and we can share that too. There were two paths, three that she saw. And maybe I'll share that with you, and then we can talk about this reality. And we'll take your calls and questions too. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. We're back with Dr. Brian Thatcher. Your calls and more right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans,
visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for letting me hang out with you every day. I do enjoy it. I really value you, and I'm glad you found the program. Love it if you tell others about the show and get them plugged into really a look at life that you're not going to find anywhere else. I like to look at the most current and important issues of the day and shine a moral light on those. Look at them through a moral lens, if you will. And there's not a better platform than our Catholic faith, is there, to examine everything from Earth Day to the war in Ukraine to the beauty of these spiritual aspects of life, like Divine Mercy and the Divine Mercy Chapel. Of course, a great Feast of Mercy. If you're just joining me, that's what we're talking about today. The Feast of Mercy is this Sunday. Unbelievable promises the Lord has given. When we left off, I was speaking with Dr. Brian Thatcher, a longtime friend of mine. I've known him for a long time. And if you're just getting plugged in, he was a gastroenterologist who left his practice in medicine in order to found the Eucharistic Apostles of Divine Mercy. And it's a beautiful lay apostolate that has done a lot to promote mercy. He's been doing it for years. An expert on Divine Mercy, he's here with me to answer your questions and take a look at some of the beauty of this devotion. And Doctor, when we left off, this person says, hey, you know, what's with the Lord reaching out to these souls at the moment of death, you know, and even though Faustina writes in her diary, it's not visible, God's grace is at work, and that soul might still have an opportunity to accept God's mercy. Faustina had a vision. She had a vision of hell and purgatory and heaven. In fact, she visited these places, and it's in her diary. One of the passages, it's early in the diary, it's diary 153. She says, I saw two roads. One was very broad. It was covered with sand and flowers. It was full of joy and music and all sorts of pleasures. And people walked along it. They were dancing. They were enjoying themselves. They reached the end without realizing it. At the end of the road, there was a horrible precipice. That is the abyss of hell. And souls fell blindly into it as they walked, so they fell. The number was so great that it was impossible to count them. Then I saw another road. Or rather, it was a path. It was narrow. It was strewn with thorns and rocks, and people who walked along it had tears in their eyes, and all kinds of suffering befell them. Some fell down upon the rocks, but stood up immediately and went on. At the end of the road, there was a magnificent garden filled with all sorts of happiness, and all these souls entered there. The very first instant, they forgot all other sufferings. That, of course, was heaven. Right? So she has these two visions, one the narrow path, the other the broad, you know, open road where people are dancing and partying. You know, how does this sync, in your opinion, with that other passage we just talked about, how the Lord is constantly reaching out to souls? To think that that many souls reject God's mercy and plunge into hell is really a frightening reality. I'd love your perspective.
Well, we look at the world today, and people are lost. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. Jesus told Faustina, I am love and mercy itself. And we're looking in all these places. And of course, in America, materialism is so rampant and greed. And we just run over people to achieve our goals. And we're not helping each other and loving and kind. And, you know, the answer is God to all of our problems, and yet the world is saying that's the last thing you should be doing, and move away from God. Take God out of schools, take God out of college, take God out of everything. No need to pray, no need to go to church. And so we're setting ourselves up, and I think that's why so many of us are miserable. And I'm a good example. I was in the fast lane. I was on a treadmill every day of my life and didn't know how to jump off. And people need just to take a step back and say, yep, hey, what's going to happen when I look at the Lord? He's not going to ask me how much money I have or how many cars did you have or tell me about your expensive jewelry. He's going to look at you and say, did you love people? Did you forgive people?
Yep.
Were you kind to people? And you will have suffering. We all have trials, and people get mad at God. Why did you do this to me? And suffering can be a great grace. It can draw us closer to God. But we all have trials, and it's like in the vision, we have to get up after we fall down. That's the story of life. That's what makes the saints. They fell down, but they got up. So I think it's more, you know, get out of the world and grow interiorly, spiritually.
One other aspect that, you know, was once told to me by Father Seraphim Michalenko, the vice postulator for the cause of Faustina, one of the foremost experts in the world, probably the premier expert on divine mercy. He says that, you know, divine mercy is more than just a devotion. A lot of people look at it like that. It's about the chaplet, the image, the feast. It really is a way of life, isn't it? There's much more to it than the devotional aspect of it.
Well, that's what's sad when I travel all over and people look at me and kind of shake their head at me and say, oh, we know about the divine mercy because we pray the chaplet once a week in church, or we have an image hanging in our home, or, you know, oh, yeah, we have that feast day in our church. I know all about it. But in actuality, that's the devotional part, the beauty of the rich Eucharistic prayer, the chaplet. When we say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity, that's the real presence, the power of the feast day. But that's only one day a year. What does Brian do the Monday after? And then we have the image, the incredible image. He said there'll be many graces coming from that image. Let every soul have access to it. You know, on the cross, we have the vertical beam. That's our relationship with God. And we're seeing how much God's pouring out his mercy on us. But there's also the horizontal. Are we pouring out that mercy and love to each other? And in my travels, Beautiful. It's obvious to me that the biggest stumbling block in spiritual advancement and growth is lack of forgiveness. Wow. You know, I kid people, I say, we forgive and forget. We say that, and yet we seldom forgive, and we rarely forget.
Yeah, that's so true.
And as I travel, people, they come up to me, yeah, I'm not talking to my brother, I'm not talking to my cousins, and we broke up over inheritance, and on it goes. And we're missing the beauty and the gift of life and the joys of the little things in life because we're holding on to anger. Paul said, run the good race, fight the good fight. How can you do that? How can you run a race when you're carrying a bag of bricks on your shoulders? It just slows us down and impedes us in the spiritual growth. So forgiveness actually opens the door to divine mercy. Here we go. We pray the chaplet. We go to Mass. We say to Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then we hold on to it. We don't forgive. We're setting ourselves up. And so forgiveness is the key. And then, of course, the Lord wanted the words, Jesus, I trust in you, below the image.
Yeah,
doesn't matter the outcome. It's trust in the Lord along the way. Keep your eyes on the finish line. You know, it's like Peter in the boat. He gets out of the boat and starts walking to Jesus. And the moment he takes his eyes off the Lord, he starts to fall. And so let Jesus be our anchor in all of our adversities, all our trials, all our sufferings, discouragements. Jesus told Faustina, anxiety, exaggerated anxiety, and discouragement are two of the greatest obstacles to holiness. And then I say to myself, why is Brian so anxious? Why am I discouraged? Well, it's because things aren't turning out the way I want them to. That may not be God's will. And so we do our best. We work hard. We do our best. We pray to do God's will, and thy will be done.
I guess
so it is so much more than a message. It's really a way of life. And then we got the works of mercy. And one of my favorite stories out of the diary was Faustina at the gate. It's the middle of winter. The winters are hard, like Ohio, where I grew up, Illinois, Wisconsin. And she goes out to the gate, and there's a poor beggar there wanting some food. And she brings him in to the kitchen. All she could find was an old piece of bread and a potato. And she heats him up, gives him to the man. He's done. She takes the plate to the sink, turns around, and the man's gone. And in his place was Jesus Christ sitting there on the chair. And the Lord told her, I have come down from heaven to taste the fruits of your mercy. We have to be a more loving, kind person, people. And when we look out for others instead of keeping it in ourselves. It's all about me. No, it's not. Die to self. You know, I must decrease, God must increase. And when we get out of ourselves and do the works of mercy, we find great pleasure and joy. And as God fills our heart with his rays of love and mercy, it's a love that overflows, and you can't contain it within yourself. You want to reach out to others. So this is a way of life, so much more than just a feast day or an image or a chaplet.
Amen to that. My guest today, Dr. Brian Thatcher, and we'll take a few more of your calls as we get ready for the great Feast of Divine Mercy, taking a look at a lot of different aspects of divine mercy today, and hopefully getting you ready for Sunday. Let's grab a call or two for you, Doctor. Let's go to Andrew first. He's listening in New Jersey. Andrew, good afternoon.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Okay, so I have a quick question for you. Let's say I go to confession. Find out I'm going to confession tomorrow on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Going to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And the question is it three parts? Is it confession, going to Mass, and saying the chaplet?
No.
That's my first part of the question.
Yeah, no. The Lord simply said you have to, go to confession and worthily receive the Eucharist.
Right.
And you have to have trust in the promise of the Feast of Mercy the Lord has given.
Okay. So my question then would be, if I do those mm-hmm. things, and just for argument's sake, let's just not that it's going to happen, hopefully not, right? But if I were to pass away right after I do that, would that mean then that I would skip purgatory and go straight to heaven?
If you receive the Eucharist and you went ahead and received confession and then receive the Eucharist, yes. Brian, we've talked about this before. It's like a new baptism. You can only be baptized once, but all that temporal punishment to your sin, all that sin, it's gone. It's like a new spiritual birthday in some respects. Andrew, my desire is to be called home on that day one day. I said to the Lord, if you're going to take me home on any day of the year, please let it be Divine Mercy Sunday. Because I mean, that's a sure shot, I think, to the next, to heaven. But, Doctor, I'll let you expand.
And can I do this for my...
Can you do it for your... Let me let Doctor respond, and then I'll take your third question. Go right ahead, Doctor.
You cannot do it for other living, but you can offer your communion up for the poor souls in purgatory.
Okay.
Now, as far as God's mercy and love, we'll get calls every once in a while, and people find this so incredible that it's hard to believe. And I'm like, this is what he told Faustina, and it's got a stamp of approval by the Catholic Church, and I believe it, and I'm going to accept it. And it's he said that graces are pouring down on the earth that day. So just rejoice and be thankful for God's mercy. But then we have to live it to our families, be the examples. When they look at you, they should see Jesus Christ, an icon of mercy.
Yeah, no doubt. The thing, too, because when I first heard this, I thought, is that canonically right? I mean, can that be really true? I mean, the grace of divine mercy wipes away temporal punishment for your sin. I thought, that can't be right. But I remember John Paul II, he had that canon Rizicki, great Polish theologian. He was a Dominican who he had examined this, and he was going to go in and tear it apart. He was looking at the devotional, the promises, the aspects of this thing, and he's the one who said that this promise of our Lord, this remarkable grace being offered on the Feast of Divine Mercy, he says it's like a second baptism. And as we both know, you can only be baptized once. But the grace is so powerful. I was mentioning before you came on, Brian, a lot of adults, in the Middle Ages and at different points in time would wait to be baptized on their deathbed because they understood the power, the promise of what baptism meant for your soul. It's a gamble I wouldn't want to take because you don't know the day or the hour. But today we have that. And today the Lord is saying, look, in Divine Mercy Sunday, you receive me worthily, you go to confession, and that's gone. It's like a second baptism. And it's just, to me, it's still mind-boggling when I think about that. But again, the Lord, this is a feast that he so desperately wanted proclaimed. He spoke to Faustina 14 times about it, and it's such a remarkable, remarkable promise. All right, we'll move along. We'll go to Denver, Colorado next. I'm grateful for everyone holding. I'll try my best to get you on the air. Manny in Denver, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Good afternoon, Doctor. So I don't know if you guys seen St. Bridget of Sweden movie, where she has a vision of an actual trial of a crusade soldier being tried. There's Satan on his right, and then there's an angel on his left, and then, you know, the soldier's trying to make his case before God, you know? But I lit candles, I prayed, but here was the devil accusing him. Yeah, he did this, but it was for himself. Yeah, he was married, but it was for his pleasure, you know? And then God at the end asked him, what do you want? And I guess he felt tricked. I mean, he felt tricked, but he felt like he wasn't worthy enough. So he said that he would prefer to go to hell. For these souls, those are the souls that I believe are the ones in most need of his mercy. And because all they knew was sin. All they knew was to live a sinful lifestyle. And so in the afterlife, at judgment, all they're going to know is sin. They're not going to know God's love because, you know, they rejected God while on earth. So they're just looking for, you know, where is my sin? Like, where can I find my sin? They're not going to know any. I don't know.
Manny, I got to hold you. I got to hold you right there. When we come back, I'm going to let Dr. Thatcher respond. Dr. Robert Stackpole's with us, too. And I want to get his take also on the Great Feast of Mercy. So stay with us. When we come back, we'll pick it up. I'm up against a break. Don't go away. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me.
Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
My thanks to Brian, Dr. Brian Thatcher, who is with us. I want to get into the conversation. Dr. Robert Stackpole, director of the John Paul II Institute on Divine Mercy, who was with us earlier, was either in this week or last week, but an expert on Divine Mercy. And it's good to have him with us today. Doctor, in these final moments, I want to bring you into the conversation. We'll take a few calls, but I want you to expand, as we did a little bit earlier in our last conversation, about the great promise of Divine Mercy, the great grace that comes on that day. That is so hard for people to get their head around, and I was included in that when I first heard about it. Do you want to articulate that and make sure that's clear for everyone?
Yeah, I've been listening to your program. You've got my great good friend, Dr. Brian Thatcher, on. So, hello, Brian. It's great to hear you again.
Brian had a run, so we just let
him
go.
Oh, he had to run.
You.
Okay, well,
we have a few minutes left. I wanted to give you the
airtime. Listening on the way.
Yeah, he's listening. I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, the you know, one thing to remember, that Faustina said that Jesus promised that on that day all the floodgates of his mercy are open. Right. And when we read that, some people think, well, that means that God must be kind of reluctant to pour out his mercy because he's got his floodgates closed most of the time. But on that day, at least, he's generous and merciful. It's just the opposite. The floodgates are in our hearts, if you will. We are the ones who are blocking the flow of his mercy to us. But on that day, because of all the graces that are flowing from his heart on that day, if we will only open our hearts, and as he says, only all it takes is trust to receive all the graces of divine mercy on that day. If we'll open his heart, then the floodgates in our hearts are open, like in Revelation, through Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who opens the door and lets me in, I will sup with them and be in communion with them, right, and give them the bread of life. Well, it's the same thing here, right? He stands at the door and knocks. All that he asks when we come to Holy Communion on the feast, the great feast of divine mercy, to receive those extraordinary graces that you've been talking about, all he asks is that we're in a state of grace and that we open our hearts to him in trust. It's as simple as that.
I love it. Very well said. Let's take a few calls for you here before we go. Let's go to Nancy in Pennsylvania. Yeah, let me see who's up next. I said, we'll go to, let me see, Helen in Gloria in Temecula, California. Got lots of calls here, doctor.
Okay.
Go ahead, Gloria. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. Go right ahead.
Okay. I wanted to ask about, I didn't do the Divine Mercy all the days. And I know that you were talking about it earlier when I got on the phone, but is it too late for me to pray it all and go to confession tomorrow and take Holy Communion on Sunday?
That's a great question. All right, so Dr.
Okay,
maybe
and I believe Drew, she's talking about the novena to the Divine Mercy, correct?
Yeah,
and the answer is simple. It's never too late, right? Even if, life overwhelmed you, gosh, the Lord knows our circumstances, doesn't he? He's got a merciful heart. That's what Faustina is telling us. So he knows the circumstances that can overwhelm us. Or maybe even we just forget because we're human. We miss a few days. That's okay. Just pick it up. You can, if you have the time, go back and do the ones that you missed. But even if you don't have the time, just pick it up from the time where you left off. And as the saints have told us, the Lord looks not on the magnitude of the things we do or whether we check all the boxes, but on the intentions of our hearts, right? If our intentions were good and we intended to do it, but something got in the way and, beyond our control, then of course we can pick it up or we can even catch up if we want to.
Yeah. Doctor, I'm curious. I've never asked you this before. How did you discover Divine Mercy? Because I know you've been a huge promoter of it. You teach it. You've known it for a long time. When were you first introduced?
Well, as may be true for lots of us, Drew, I don't know if it's true for you, but it came from my wife, actually.
Wow.
My wife is a native Pole. And when I was getting to know her and we were dating, so to speak, and then we were engaged and all that, she was the one from her Polish background and introduced me to the Divine Mercy. I was kind of interested, but I wasn't completely captured by it until something had happened a little later. And that was, I saw in Marian's magazine, the Marian Helper magazine, something about the John Paul II Institute of Divine Mercy. And the person who was opening up this new institute was someone whose name you'll know very well, Father Serafin Mikalenko.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the great promoter. He was the vice postulator of the cause for the canonization of St. Faustina. And at that time, he was the director of the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. And so I contacted him about this, and he invited me to come to one of their weekends that they had for Divine Mercy leaders. And when I came to that, my wife's initial invitation, and then coming to that and hearing the great Father Serafin Mikalenko and Father George Kosicki, who was another great evangelist for the Divine Mercy back in the 1980s, 1990s. Yeah, when I heard them speak and saw the relevance of this message, how appropriate on Relevant Radio that you guys promoted so much because of the relevance to our time, as Pope John Paul II said so often, right? Our time is a time of hopelessness. And believers understand that in the Divine Mercy is all our hope. So that's how it happened to me in several stages, but initially from my good wife, Catherine.
That's amazing, though. See, I was introduced to it in, I think, the early 1990s, and by Father Serafin Mikalenko. He came to me to produce a documentary. They wanted an updated, a documentary or story on the life of St. Faustina.
Right.
And I was very blessed to be able to be at the beatification. But you knew Father George Kosicki and all these paragons of Divine Mercy, Father Serafin, well before Faustina was even beatified. It's pretty amazing. Hey, Doctor, I only have about a minute left. Just in summary, as we get ready for the Great Feast of Mercy, I want to give you the floor. Whatever advice you want to give to those as we get ready to receive this extraordinary grace that God has in store for us.
Yeah, for sure. Drew, we look out at the world. Several of the people you've been talking to today have said this. look at the incredible challenges of faithlessness and abortion, divorce, suicide, war breaking out. You can feel overwhelmed sometimes when you watch the news, right? Sometimes you don't even want to turn it on or even look at it on the computer because it's so over. The darkness seems to be on parade right now, right? But the great thing that our Lord says is, my merciful heart, he said this to St. Faustina several times, will triumph in the end. My merciful heart is greater than your sins, he said, St. Faustina, greater than the sins of the whole world. So when we come to Divine Mercy Sunday this year, let's come with trust in our heart, trust filled with hope, because hope is that open door, that opening of the floodgates, right, that enables Christ to come into our hearts and do all that he wants to do, and then through our hearts, into our families, our workplaces, and all those whom we meet. Don't worry. Don't fear not, as he said many times. Don't be afraid. His mercy has got things under control. His counterattack is underway. Or as to quote the great Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan is on the move.
I love it. Hey, have a happy feast, Doctor. Thank you for taking time to be with us. Always great to talk to you. For more information, of course, check out Relevant Radio. We're going to be praying the chaplet live and having a special service at 3 p.m. Make sure you get to confession and receive the Lord. Happy feast day.